This is Twit.
We're out here in the parking lot because we want to drive a car. Joining me now, Sam Abolsamid. He is a senior researcher at Navigant Research.
Yep.
Writes for Forbes, among other things. You got a podcast?
Yep. Wheel Bearings, where my friend Dan Roth and I talk about cars every week and automotive technology and kind of where all this stuff is going.
Sam is my car expert. Whenever I have a question about a car, I always ask Sam. Now, you told me not to get the Tesla. You were wrong. You were wrong on that. But let's... He's looking at me.
I like my Tesla.
Hey, but there are other choices.
You're making the payments on it. If you like the car,
it's
more
expensive.
Power to you.
You're right. That's expensive.
Hey, I mean, that's what's important, though. You have to like what you're driving. If you like that car,
but my wife doesn't. She drives a nice gas Audi S5. Yeah. She drives a sports car. The lease runs out in a month. She's been looking for a replacement. Now, I think really the future is with all electric.
Yeah.
So zero emissions. As we see more and more chargers everywhere, range anxiety is going to be less of a problem. This is the newly redesigned Nissan Leaf for 2018. They got rid of the alien eyes. It actually looks like a more traditional
vehicle. They made it much more mainstream looking, so it looks more like the rest of the Nissan lineup. You know, so you have the V-Motion grille, which is kind of a signature design feature of the current generation of Nissans.
Really good looking car.
Yeah, it is. Very sharp.
The charging port is here. There's two different charging ports. This is the traditional charging port. And you said this is a CHAdeMO charging port. It's a little smarter, right?
There's three types of DC fast charging. One is the Tesla superchargers that everybody knows about, but those only work with Teslas.
Right.
And then for all the other cars, there's what's known as CHAdeMO, and then there's also the combo chargers, which is actually an evolution of this one. This standard was developed by the Society of Automotive Engineers, and so there's an updated version of this that adds two more big pins on it for DC fast charging. But in Japan, they use this standard called CHAdeMO. And so right now, there's about 1,000 CHAdeMO DC fast charging stations in the U.S.
I like seeing both because it gives me more flexibility.
Yeah.
And if I have it in my home, would I have kind of a traditional RV plug, a NEMA 50, say, and then plug it into this?
Or do I have to get a special charging? Or you can buy the chargers with this type of connector on them.
Okay.
They run about $500 to $700 for the charger itself, you know, mounts on the wall, and then depending on what wiring you have in your house, you may have to get an electrician in. So it could cost you up to between $1,500 and $2,000 total for the charger and installation.
And something to keep in mind when you buy an electric car.
But you only have to do that once. So once you've done that for your first EV, you never have to do it
again. That's a good point. So the big question on any electric vehicle is, what is its range? How far is it going to go? And that's conditioned by how big the battery is, right?
Right. Primarily.
So
this car has 40 kilowatt hours.
It's funny because you expect a car to have an engine. This isn't exactly an engine. It's an electric car. There's no internal combustion engine. Is this the battery pack?
No, the battery pack is under the floor, much like in your Tesla. This is the power electronics, and then below that is the drive motor.
And it's front-wheel drive on
this car? Front-wheel drive, yeah. Okay. They increased the size of the battery from 30 kilowatt hours on the 2016 model to 40 kilowatt hours. They haven't got the official rating from EPA yet, but it'll be around 150 miles for this one.
That's really good.
And then next year, there will be an even larger version that will get you well over 200 miles.
So I think when you get to that range, it suddenly becomes something people would consider, especially if you live in a rural area like this. With an electric car, you have to consider, where's the charger going to be? How far do I need to go? What's my commute if you have a long commute? But 150 miles, that's a good step towards...
It is, yeah. Well, and the other thing to consider, too, is, you know, if you live outside of California, you know, if you live in Arizona, for example, where it can get very hot in the summertime and you need to use your air conditioning, or if you live in Chicago...
That drains the battery faster inside the car.
Yeah, because all of that is running off the battery.
Yeah. How long can we expect these batteries to last?
Engineers have tried to be really careful not to overuse the batteries.
Right.
So what they do is they run them from about 10% to 90% of capacity. And you'll find this in your Tesla. There's an extended range mode. So there's the default mode.
Yeah.
It only uses maybe 90% of the battery range.
I found that on Twitter because the first time I got the Tesla, I charged it all the way up to 250 miles. And everybody on Twitter said, no, you're going to ruin your batteries. You don't want to charge them all the way. So I typically don't charge it full.
Right.
But when I need it, I can charge
it
full.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice,
and as long as you're not doing that all the time, you'll probably be fine.
10 years, is that reasonable for a battery pack?
Yeah, so you know, they warranty these, especially here in California, they warranty them for 10 years, 150,000 miles
on
the battery.
That's pretty good. And what kind of maintenance on the electric motor? That's pretty straightforward.
The motor doesn't really require any maintenance at all.
I don't have to change the plugs.
There's no plugs or
oil
to change. No, there's no oil. There's oil in the gearbox.
Yeah.
That's designed to run for the life of the car, so you don't need to drain that.
This is pretty much almost maintenance-free, except for the tires.
Yeah, you still have to change tires, light bulbs. bulbs, wiper blades, you know, all the other things that you have with any other car that wear out, but no engine.
No spark plugs to change.
Nope.
I want to take a ride. Now, the rules from Nissan are you have to drive, and we can't leave the parking lot. So we're not going to be able to, like, really step on it here, but I just want to get a sense. And let's get in, because I want to see what it feels like inside. Sometimes electric cars, you feel like you're driving in a little martini olive.
Yeah.
This is a little more normal looking. We're going to put Jerry in the back seat here, and we've got a GoPro in the front so you can get a sense of it. So first, before we get going, this is pretty comfortable. I like it. It's got, are you comfortable back there in the back seat, Jerry?
Yeah.
Not a lot of leg room, but it's certainly, for a compact car, this is pretty typical, right?
Yeah, comparable to what you'd get with a Ford Focus or a Honda Civic.
That's
or
what it feels
Toyota
like.
Corolla.
Yeah, it's
in the same size class.
And price class two?
Yeah, one of the reasons why Nissan decided to go with just a 40 kilowatt hour battery to start with for this car, as opposed to the larger 60 kilowatt hour battery that Chevy's using in the Bolt, is to try to keep the price down. They're going for value. So the base price starts at just under $30,000, about $29,900. Fully loaded, it'll go up to about $37,000.
And this is pretty loaded. We got the sound system and all this stuff. And it's got the usual luxury features, power windows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big screen with the navigation. And of course,
ProPilot Assist.
Ah, let's talk about that.
It will do lane centering. It's designed for hands-on, eyes-on operation, so you can't take your hands off
the
wheel.
As it should be.
Right. Yeah. If you take your hands off the wheel for more than a few seconds, depending on what speed you're going, highway speeds, it'll be faster.
Essentially, cruise control that will slow down, even stop, and then pick up again.
Yep, so there's camera and radar that look for the vehicle ahead of you and look for the lane markers.
Keeps you inside the lane. Keep
you in the lane.
Warns you if you drift.
Yep, so let's turn it on.
Okay, this is what by the way, I love push-button start. A lot of cars have that now. But I love it. There's no gear system here. There's no emergency brake. There's just this big... What is that?
This is the shifter.
Okay.
So when you push it over and back towards you, that puts it in drive.
Okay.
And then if I push it over and forward, that puts it in reverse.
And that's really the only two gears, right? Back then, or forward.
And then push the big P button to put it back in park. And before we go, let's plug my phone in here, and you'll see that
this is the first Nissan Apple
with Android Auto.
This is great. You've got your music, you've got Nav,
got some All About Android.
Good show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's look at the console.
Okay.
So it looks like a physical speedometer. And then it's got a screen, which...
So you got about a 6-inch digital display on the left-hand side here, an analog speedometer on the other side, and then this you can toggle through some different displays the default shows you how much power you're using or how much you're generating when you're braking, and gives you some coaching to get more efficient driving. Yeah.
One of the things that Tesla tends to do is eliminate a lot of these buttons, do it all in software. That can be a mixed bag. I think a lot of people like physical buttons because you know exactly where it is, you know exactly what to do. You don't have to hunt through menus.
From a driver distraction standpoint, that's actually really bad.
Yeah. You know,
having to go through software menus and a touchscreen takes a lot of your attention away from the road.
Yeah, a lot of complaints about the Model 3 in that respect. They don't have any buttons.
Right.
Now, Nissan's talking about their regenerative braking and their what do they call it? One pedal driving? Tell me about that.
So they've got a new mode for the 2018 Leaf called e-pedal.
E-pedal.
And there's this button right here.
It's not on by default because it might initially be disconcerting.
It takes a little getting used to because what it does is it gives you maximum regenerative braking. So the normal mode is to simulate what you get with a gas engine. So when you lift off the accelerator, you get some nice gentle deceleration like you would in a regular car.
And when you're doing regenerative braking, it can really be like you're stepping on the brake.
Yep.
When you take your foot off the gas pedal.
And you can get 30 or 40% more electric range because you get so much more energy going back into the battery every time you slow down.
So eventually you're going to want to turn off the simulation of internal combustion.
Yeah.
You're going to want to turn off creep and just drive the car natively as it is intended. And frankly, once you get used to it, it's a very natural way to drive. All right, well, let's go for a ride. So you put in drive just by that.
And we'll put it in e-pedal mode as well.
Are you comfortable? You must be comfortable.
So right now, I'm not touching any of the pedals in the car.
And it's not going anywhere.
It's just sitting still. And so I just put my foot on the accelerator.
Well, you can feel, even without accelerating rapidly, some good torque at the beginning there.
And when we get around the other side and we have a little bit of open space there, will accelerate a little bit harder.
So we happen to have a racetrack around the Twit studio, so it's very convenient for this kind of thing. Yeah. How's the handling in this?
So far, it's quite good. The steering feels, it's got good feedback. It's not sloppy or anything.
Oh, it's got some torque.
Yep.
I feel that. This feels pretty peppy.
Yeah.
I like how quiet electric cars are. You just don't hear the rattle of an engine. You don't hear the... Now, some people like how their exhaust sounds, but you don't have any of that rumble. It's just an electric motor, so there's a slight whine. You, of course, hear tire sounds. Those are the same.
Fortunately, though, in the future, when we've got drones delivering all our packages to us, that'll more than make up for the loss of sound pollution we get from our engines.
How's the center of gravity? With the Tesla, of course, is very low because you have this big, heavy battery in the bottom. Is this similar?
Yeah, it's probably not quite as low because that power electronics that we saw earlier fairly high.
Yep.
But that's that, compared to the weight of the battery, that's a fairly small amount of weight. So, yeah, most of the weight is down below us, in the floor
of the car.
That.
It gives you good cornering. Mm-hmm. Gives you real stability.
Yeah.
This is a very nice car. You think an improvement on the earlier models of the Nissan Leaf?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the original Leaf was actually a really nice car. It was a little more funky. They tried to make it a little more distinguished from the rest of the Nissan lineup to say, when you're driving this, you're an early adopter. You're buying something different. It's a zero emissions car. So this time, they decided, okay, we're going to go for the mass market. So they tried to create a real value proposition with the pricing, and get just the right balance of range and battery size and everything, so they could get a good price and lots of nice equipment in the car. And I think they did a really good job so far.
Sam, I really appreciate your getting the Nissan Leaf down here, the new 2018 Nissan Leaf. Great to take a ride in it. It's a pretty impressive vehicle. I really look forward to a day where we get internal combustion cars mostly off the roads and have these zero emissions cars. They're fun to drive. They're easy to drive. They're low maintenance, and they don't pollute. I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sam. Great
My pleasure.
See you. All right, step on it.
No! 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 No!